We've heard a lot of ways of removing spirits from a home or a building, but does a broom work just as good? In a recent EPP bonus episode, it appeared to for one listener. We'll tell you exactly what they did with the broom.
It's really creepy.
Become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com to get that episode and all of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. It's what keeps our show fueled and on the air. Only $5 a month. Help keep the show going and enjoy all the bonuses of being an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a boy finds that his love of ghost TV shows may have brought something into his home. A woman describes the awkward encounter she faced while dating her future husband. A family game night opens up a conversation with a deceased resident. And could an apparition be sending a boy messages about her past life? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a show filled with all-natural ghost stories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Yes, 100% organic ghost
stories. No, not organic. That can get you in trouble. All natural doesn't mean shit.
Okay.
That's why when you see that on a product label, and it's getting extreme now.
Mm-hmm.
I bring this up because of my lunch that I had today.
Oh, no.
And let me just preface this first in case our listeners are unaware of the differences here. There's organic. There's certified organic, which actually does have to have like a certain label and meet certain requirements to be certified organic.
Okay.
But all natural doesn't have to meet anything. You can call anything all natural. And that's what a lot of things do. And people are like, oh, all natural. It must be organic. No, not at all. It's just that feel good term. It's like saying country fresh flavor.
Okay.
Okay. It's just bullshit.
Okay.
That's all it means. Anything can be all natural. You know, preservatives can be all natural.
Okay.
If it's a natural preservative, it's an all natural preservative. So I had Lean Cuisine or something lunch today. And I just thought it was funny when I was reading the back of the box. It said our meatballs are all natural.
All natural.
Our meatballs are all natural. It doesn't say like turkey or beef. It's just all natural. So it could have been zebra.
It was mystery meat.
For all I know. But it just said all natural. Just like, this is just totally playing on people not knowing what the hell all natural means.
It's probably the same shit as the meatballs and SpaghettiOs.
It's the same, yeah. I mean, it's just, and it's all natural. You can say that's all natural. So, ghost stories, they're all natural on the show. I mean, that kind of is what it is. We're not making them up. These are stories that come to us. We can't verify that they've actually happened. But that you're taking people at their word for it. That's what it's all about. So they are technically all natural ghost stories.
Okay.
Not organic. That's a whole, you can't do organic. Although I'm surprised what you can do organic on now. When you see some of these things, like various products that you wouldn't expect to be organic. Like, how is this even organic? How is this plastic wrap organic? You know?
Okay.
It's like shit like that. Anyhow. That's my rant about being all natural.
Well, I had an all natural Burger King burger for lunch.
Well, that's good.
So there.
Supernatural?
Yeah.
All naturally flame broiled?
Something like that.
That's great. I don't know if do they actually do that, or is it like flavoring they put in the food?
I don't really know. There's marks on the patty, but I don't think there's a grill back there.
I'm guessing they probably come that way.
Yeah.
And then there's like some sort of, you know, it's like liquid smoke. You kind of get that. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't care to know either. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm going to change it to All Natural Ghost Stories Online. That might be a little odd. Just a little bit.
Okay.
All Natural Ghost Stories Online. Kicking off the show today, Derek writes in, "Hey guys, I'm a new subscriber and listening to this podcast and now a huge fan. I'm always listening to your podcast during my work time, and that helps me get through work faster. So thanks for that. Here are my ghost stories about A year ago, I was sound asleep and had awakened at around 2 or 3 a.m. with a sudden urge to use the bathroom. Now, there's only two bathrooms in my house, one by my parents' room and the other is my mom's room, which is right next door to my room. I open the door and walk into the bathroom and do my business quickly because I hate being in the dark. Now, both my stepdad and mom are sleeping in their room. I look in the living room as I'm walking back to my room and notice my stepdad sitting on the couch, staring at me with no expressions on his face. I stop for a second and look at him. I suddenly get goosebumps all over my body and run back to my room and close the door. By this time, my heart is beating super fast. I know my stepdad was with my mom sleeping in their room because they both don't wake up until 5 a.m. and it really freaked me out. Now maybe you guys can help me out on what that was staring at me. Another story that happened to me was a few nights after what had happened. Around 3 a.m. I woke up and randomly saw my sister, who currently lives in Fountain Valley, California, which is 30 minutes away from where I live, standing in front of my bed. She didn't say anything and she had no expression on her face. Now I know I wasn't dreaming. Of course, I blink and she's gone just like that. I was again freaked out and quickly turned my light and TV on. I didn't bother telling my sister because I knew it would scare her. Her husband, which is my brother-in-law, had passed away, I want to say about 5 years ago, and he was known as a jokester. I just told my friends and parents about what happened about a few days later. My mom, who's a huge believer in the supernatural, said, "See, Derek, I told you a million times to stop watching those ghost shows. The ghost can climb out of the TV and stay in our house." I don't think that can happen, but now I'm having second thoughts about what she just told me. I just moved into the place I'm now living in 4 years ago, and the last owner said that this house was built in the 1960s. Sorry for the long post, but I had to tell somebody else. Besides those two stories, nothing has ever happened to me in the past. Thanks for reading. Looking forward to listening to more Real Ghost Story episodes. Also, I'm strongly thinking about becoming an EPP member. I'll be sure to write you guys if I have any more experiences. Your new fan, Derek.
Was Derek trying to make a connection between the brother-in-law who had recently passed away, maybe coming back looking like other people as a prank?
I don't know if that was what was the intention there, or if it was just another little piece and thought, you know, maybe if I present there's this other ingredient, I don't know if it has influenced the flavor of this story or not, but maybe it has something to do with it.
Sure. Just include everything you can.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds like there's one entity that just likes to mimic the appearance of others.
Yeah, and I don't know so much that humans have the ability to do that.
No, but I'm curious if it's done anything else other than just show up. Because if it has done nothing else, then I wouldn't worry about it.
I just wouldn't start interacting with it.
No.
Hopefully it calms itself down, goes away, and realizes that it's not going to get someone there to interact. But that's very bizarre. I mean, you probably have one of two things here. You have something dark that could very well be trying to get you to interact with it by presenting itself as familiar, folks. Or, I don't know. I mean, there is that other possibility that they're somehow projecting themselves with their own energy to these places. The sister, the stepfather, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very odd that it's happening in such sequential order in two very different people.
Yeah.
Doing it. That's why I don't know what, you know, what or why.
But I do feel confident in saying that it's not coming out of the TV.
Yeah, it probably has absolutely nothing to do with the shows that you're watching.
No.
That's given you a little more insight,
mm-hmm.
you know, possibly into what's going on, although it's probably not answering your questions, nor are we. But certainly, you know, probably making you a little more aware of strange occurrences and possibilities. And we've had stories here before. I know you said you're a new listener of similar-esque things happening. Living people being seen essentially as ghosts to someone else in a location that they are not.
Yeah.
Whether they're in the other room or far away. So what that is, very hard to tell.
Yeah, very hard.
Very, very hard. If someone wants to weigh in on that, that'd be a good one for the forum, because that one does come up quite a bit. here on the show. Phone number is 855-853-4802. Make sure you press subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That way you get all the latest episodes. It helps us climb in those rankings as well, so more people can find the show. We get more stories. It makes a better show for you. And there's no searching then for a new episode every single time you want to find one. Just get it, you know, subscribe. There you get the list of everything. And you click away and all is good in the world. Noel writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Noel. Good friend of mine shared this story, and I asked him for permission to share it with you. It was December 1970, the third Saturday of the month. He remembers well, it was Christmas time and they were a poor family. The only gift they had was the gift of food, health, and a roof over their heads. This took place at the ranch owned by his grandparents, which they had inherited. There stood old ruins of time gone by when the Mexican Revolution took over haciendas or ranch homes of back in the day. One day, when his grandpa came back from town, he told everyone he had found someone that said there was a buried treasure in one of the footings of the old hacienda. This person said his father had buried it here back when the fighting was going on. There was no hesitation. Pick and shovel in hand, they dug for 5 days with no luck. On the sixth day, the cold December afternoon, they hit an object about 5 feet deep. His uncles and their cousins, all ranging from 5 to 15, ran to the house to tell everyone, all except his uncle. He told me that when Grandpa dug around the edges, he said, 'Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessing.' It was then when the hole started caving in and Grandpa barely made it out when the old copper box sunk in more than 20 feet and dirt falling all around it. It was at this point when everyone's hope turned into horror. They started to see a black hooded figure standing at the doorway of the house, always staring, always cold and black as darkness. More and more it became obvious they had disturbed something in the dig. One late afternoon when his grandpa was coming home, as he entered the old brick arch entrance to the ranch, there stood the black hooded figure 7 feet tall and smelling of rotten flesh. He said his name, that he was the demon of greed, and he knew what grandpa wanted, but that he'd wanted in exchange for 2 coffins full of gold. Grandpa said, 'What do you want?' 'I want the soul of a boy offered in sacrifice, and he would make the treasure he seeked his to keep.' Grandpa refused the demon, and in the name of Jesus, he screamed to the heavens to come down and cast the demon before and protect his family. They sold everything they had and moved to the city, and to this day, that treasure remains buried in that old ranch in the mountains of Mexico. Take away a lesson from this, said my friend. There is 3 kinds of buried treasures throughout the world. 1, the kind of which it's buried because there is simply too much and can't be carried, buried to later retrieve it. 2, the kind which a family member buries it before death so he could show his family members where it is and they can retrieve it. And 3, the kind which the people that buried it are so consumed by greed they want no one to have it, the kind of which they have killed the owners to steal. That kind, my friends, is the one which my friend's grandpa found."
Okay. I honestly wonder if they didn't disturb some kind of grave.
Or it could be cursed money of some sort or connected to it. Maybe it was gotten with some sort of ill means and it's, I don't know, that's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a grave there with it. Maybe there was a body holding the, you know, the money.
Yeah.
Or there in that general vicinity.
That's a nice little cautionary tale.
That is. That's something that you probably would not find on homes.com.
No.
When you are searching for those. This is a nice little hacienda. Oh, and there's buried treasure. But beware. The demon of greed will show up at your front door. It can be yours if you sacrifice the soul of your youngest born boy.
Yeah.
And indoor plumbing.
Hopefully nothing followed them after they left.
It sounds like you probably stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a lesson learned. Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Oh, I thought of another one, another bizarre thing that I heard today that I just thought, well, that's, people say this and this is odd in a certain way. I was listening to NPR mm-hmm. earlier today and it's, you know, the days they get sponsored by people and then it's like, and it's brought to you by Herbert and Linda Schmuel, or whatever their name were, celebrating Linda's, Herbert's beautiful wife, Linda's birthday today. And I get, you know, he's being nice and saying my beautiful wife. I thought it'd be even more hilarious if somebody does this and says, and his moderately attractive wife.
Oh, geez.
Like, you never hear anything like that.
No.
But it's just like, okay, he's being kind. He's being, you know, that's what he, you know, he, that's what he wants to say. Mm-hmm. But you never hear anybody say
it. No, because nobody in their right mind would do that.
I heard that like right after I was contemplating the all natural meatball thing. And I'm like, this would be another fun
you
thing to say.
You were full of randomness today.
Yeah, it's a little random.
Yeah.
It was things that I was observing.
Had too many days off in a row.
It could be.
Yeah.
And I haven't, I need to share.
Yeah.
I need to share. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you ever sponsored a day on NPR, I would request that you would say something to the effect of, and my moderately attractive husband. I would find that hilarious. just hear them read that out loud. I would just, that would be hilarious.
I would just say follically challenged.
Yeah, that, something where like the announcer, because they're always so deadpan on there.
Uh-huh.
And today's show is brought to you by blah, 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 blah. And you just put something in there so absurd. Not obscene, just absurd.
Okay.
That, you know, because I'm sure they get the beautiful and the this and the that and the loving and the caring and all of that. But you put something like that in there. Slightly selfish, moderately attractive husband.
God.
Just something like that. And now more. Wait, don't tell me. You know, that would just make my day.
I'll keep that in mind.
And I don't want you to need to go do that, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I'm just going to rush right out and do that one.
Well, hang up right now and we'll just call NPR right now while we're doing the show.
Okay.
So Brooke writes in, hey guys, this is Brooke from Ontario, Canada. Just wanted to tell you a funny story about a woman who loves my husband like a son and looks out for him. The twist being that she hasn't been alive since the city I live in was farmland. So going back at least 100 to 150 years, I guess I should give you a little bit of background on my husband and me. I'm very scientific based and I find many times ghost encounters are nothing more than normal occurrences that we can't explain in the moment. But that being said, I had many instances of paranormal happenings that I do believe are unexplainable. Yes, I do believe there are spirits walking this earth. And yes, I do believe things are not always what they seem. My husband is much the same, except he and his dad are both, excuse the terminology, sensitive. My father-in-law can see things that are not so good, so he has learned to shut them out. Although he has his fair share of what we jokingly call their friends. My husband has told me about this before. The story I'm about to tell you took place, and he told me about this lady, saying if I ever saw a woman in the house who wasn't his mom or sister, not to be worried, it's more than likely her just checking up on the house. Anyway, when my husband and I were first dating, I was fresh out of high school, and he was 2 years older than me. I'd always go to his house, and he would watch TV in his parents' basement. The house was a back split, and we were on the floor just below the main floor, as the bottom floor was my husband's bedroom. My husband was always shy, as I was his first girlfriend, and one day we started to make out a little, like the teenagers we were, when all of a sudden, I was freezing cold. I told him that I was cold, and he suggested I wrap up in the blanket hanging on the back of the couch. I did, and got nice and toasty warm. We continued watching TV, and then again started with the kissing, and just like before, I was freezing again. When I told him this time, we decided to switch spots on the couch, thinking that maybe there was a breeze from the AC. As we switched sides and started back where we left off, I once again got really cold, and I could have sworn I felt like someone was looking at me and disapproving. When I would move, you could literally feel a bubble of cold follow me to wherever I was sitting. This happened a couple more times before we gave up, and we just sat and watched the rest of the movie. But after we had stopped, I was fine and had no more cold surrounding me. When my husband got up to go to the washroom, I thought I could see a woman peeking up the stairs at me from his bedroom door from the corner of my eye. I looked at her and realized what had happened. I laughed and apologized to her, saying I meant no harm to him and that I really had feelings for him. I told her I respected her boundaries and wouldn't make out with him on the couch anymore. When my husband came back from the bathroom, he asked who I was talking to, and I had told him what I had seen, and he laughed. He agreed with my assessment and apologized to her as well. I didn't have any more issues with her after that. I have a ton more stories to tell you if you're ever interested, but some to this day scare the bejesus out of me still. Thanks for reading my story and hope you guys are doing well.
I thought that was a good little story.
Jealous ghost.
Not really jealous. No, just disapproving of the making out on the couch. It's more of a motherly type spirit.
Oh, it's okay. So it's like this is not proper.
Yeah. It's like, don't do that.
I see.
You guys have to space yourselves at least an arm's length away.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's interesting. I'd love to hear more of the encounters that occurred with that relationship and the motherly ghost. That was an interesting story.
I like that one.
The phone number is 855-853-4802. If I don't bump my mic away, you can hear what I'm saying. 855-853-4802.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just swerved in the back of my chair here. See? When I hit it, it moves it far away from me. And I shouldn't swerve. Kevin writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been listening on YouTube for a while now and love this show and look forward to it all the time. I figured it'd be time to share my story. I'll start when I was about 10 years old. I was sitting on the recliner and watching TV. Being an avid football and hockey fan, I was flipping between the NFL and NHL networks. It was a hot and humid Winchendon, Massachusetts. I apologize for slaughtering the name of your town. Winchendon, Massachusetts day, about 91 degrees to be specific. I was sitting in shorts and a t-shirt and sweating like crazy. Then I felt a cold chill, like Rocky, in the walk-in freezer, hitting the meat kind of cold. I thought it was a fan, then I remembered we didn't have an AC in the house yet. I had a feeling I was being watched, not in a stalked way, just like a mother who's watching you do something in admiration kind of way. I turned around and saw a girl with black hair, greenish-blue eyes, and a period nightgown. I remember turning her attention from the TV to her smiling at me. I felt very calm and wasn't scared at all. I asked my sister if it was her, but then I remembered she was in basketball shorts, a tank top, and she never was that pleasant waking up at any time of the day. Fast forward to when I'm 16 years old. I just come home from a little fire. My brother and our friends all had it behind our high school, a few towns over. Small town hijinks, you guys know the deal. We had a few laughs and some drinks and reminisced about our football games and whatnot. We came home to our house and my mom, sisters, and my brother Eric and my dad were playing with the Ouija. Of course, being a teenager, I made a beeline for the pizza and got like 3 slices and sat down. Kevin, you're into ghost stuff. Come try this. It's kind of tipsy, so I didn't have the sense to say no. We started asking questions and then we had a female spirit come through. Her name was Heidi. She was my age, we found out, 16, right on the dot. I stupidly asked her, "How did you die, Heidi?" And she responded, "I was raped." "Where, Heidi?" "On your property." "What year did you die?" And this was a shocker, 1897. Being still buzzed, a subtle holy shit left my lips. I immediately apologized, which she apparently didn't mind. We asked her why she stayed in our home when she could go anywhere other than the spot where she met her demise, and she responded, "I love it here. Love laughter. Feels like home." I felt I had to say something. I mean, I'm the only person in the house who can 100% relate to her. So I told her, "Hey, I'm really, really sorry what happened to you, and you didn't deserve that. If you're lonely and need a friend, I'm here, okay? You can watch me play Madden or PS2 or football hockey specials on TV. I'll never push you away. You'll always be my friend." I could feel her presence from there on out. One day I was playing games and had a bottle of soda on the table, and just as it was about to fall off, she pushed it back on so it didn't fall. My nephew Luke would be there and he would be staring off and giggling, so I think she was talking to him. I never felt alone and I always felt at ease knowing she felt at home with us. When we had to move, I made sure I said goodbye, and of all the goodbyes I said, that was the one where I cried. I hope she knows that I always think about her. Whenever I hear your shows or watch Ghost Adventures or just thinking, when I and my girlfriend Anna get married and have kids, I hope that in some way she comes and visits and meets them. But I hope I get to make her feel at home again without being dangerous and using a Ouija board. I hope to hear this. Thanks and go Dallas Stars. Sorry, had to. Haha.
I like that where she ended up being part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to become so attached to a ghost that you feel that emotional when you have to leave it, I think is a really neat thing. And I wish that that could be the case more often for people that do have to deal with a haunting, that it's not something they have to quote-unquote deal with, that it's something that could be more of a positive experience.
That makes sense. I just want to see Ouija used on that television show Family Game Night.
Oh, okay.
Now, I forgot who hosts that now. It's like become a real popular show. The woman who was in Glee and... Jane something? I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She's real tall, short, yeah. Blonde hair.
Yeah, she was in a couple other like one-off shows that were really funny. I can't remember what they were. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, that's going to bother me now.
Should I just look this up just so we can answer the question?
I can't think of her name.
Really quick? It's Jane, right?
I think so.
Jane Hayward?
No.
Jane Lynch.
Yeah, Jane Lynch.
Yes, okay. Yep. And the other show that she was in earlier that I thought was hilarious, which I do highly recommend if you enjoy messed up senses of humor. And you can get this one like on demand on different Party Down.
Okay.
Did you ever see that one?
I think so, about the catering company.
It's like a semi-reality type, you know, show. Mm-hmm. It's like Arrested Development, but it's about a catering company.
Yeah.
Very funny show. Anyway, there's that.
Okay.
855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Dalton writes in, I've had many, many experiences with the paranormal, from a baby to a teenager. I still believe I can see that which others cannot. I believe my first encounter occurred when I was but a young baby. My dad claimed years later that he would rock me back and forth in the living room chair that was backed up against the side of the staircase, and that I'd look at the top of the staircase and laugh. Whether I was laughing at him or something else, I don't know. I was far too young to even remember such an occurrence. This may have happened multiple times. I wouldn't be surprised. The next period of encounters seemed to happen repeatedly when I was 4 years old. If I'm correct, I would walk to the back bathroom, step inside the shower, sit down, having all my clothes on, and talk to somebody. The first imaginary friend I remember having been when I was 5 or 6, and his name was Fred. When asked by my parents who I was talking to, I would reply with, my friend. Again, I don't recall this memory very well, if at all. Most ones after that I do happen to remember, specifically one that happened only a few years after the occurrences in the shower. My grandma, on my mother's side, would throw a Christmas party some years, and 1 year I came home and was going to play with some of my toys. I loved to play with toys as a kid, especially Lego wannabe companies and Hot Wheels. We kept and still kept most of these games under a bay window in our living room inside a place small enough for a small child to crawl in, I suppose. Anyway, the second I walked in the living room, for a fraction of a second, about as fast as one could snap their fingers, I saw a ghost white apparition of a little girl, around 10 to 12, dressed in what appeared to be a white silky gown from the Victorian era, and a white hat without all the flowers. The ribbon tied around the part that goes on the head, and lavender-colored ribbon around her waist. A name popped in my mind, Emily. I don't know what triggered this in my head, perhaps because I had a classmate named Emily, which I did, because it's a common name or just something that was passed along. As a message from the other side, perhaps an answer, a legacy. Later that night, my dad's best friend came over, as he often did and still does. I heard him discussing a girl who used to live in the house we do. Emma Frost. Whether a psychic ability I've abstained or been granted part of a sixth sense I may have been and or are still attuned to, or just a freaky coincidence of epic proportions. You can't deny how weird it is. I have more true tales to tell if you're willing to hear them. Just email me and I'll be happy to recall more strange occurrences.
I'm always willing to hear more strange occurrences. And that's pretty close to get the name Emily when it's probably really Emma.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you wonder, do they try and send you messages to where you know things?
To to like connect the dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, giving you little clues and hints.
Yeah, because we have stories quite often where they're like, I don't know why, but the name so-and-so came to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like they're sending out those waves.
And it's a matter of the people trying to decipher what it is or what it isn't. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting because it's not like set up where it's in a theater and it's not the Speaking with the Dead show. It's, I got this feeling, and then later, out of nowhere, Dad's friend shows up and it's a very similar, you know, name.
And you know what? Who knows? Maybe her middle name was Lee and it was sure. actually Emma Lee. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting story. And I think there's definitely a connection there. I don't think that's just a coincidence by any means. Our number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Jackie from Wisconsin. You have an EPP, I believe, 26 of me telling a story about when my friend in high school died, and my friends held a seance to try to bring him back to ask him questions, and things went really not well. Well, the whole summer was just really, really strange, you know, with all the emotions and stuff like that of, you know, losing our friend and, you know, really bad car accident and everything. And everybody's still wondering what was going on. You know, it's like there were so many little things that were going on all summer that it could be a book. So anyway, the story that I wanted to tell you today is, I think, kind of connected with this story. So me and my friends had went out to a park at night, and, you know, we were sort of horsing around, and, you know, it was, you know, my girlfriend and her boyfriend and me and my boyfriend, and we'd kind of broken up, and not broken up, but, you know, went our separate ways out in this little park, and, you know, sitting there talking with my boyfriend, and, you know, all of a sudden, he was fairly sensitive about things, and, you know, he started, you know, kind of feeling things like we gotta find them and, you know, kind of get out of here. And, you know, so we eventually found them. We got in the car. We left. He was acting really, really strange. And, you know, we drove back into town and stopped at the little local, you know, gas station hangout. And we were sort of talking and, you know, I kind of vaguely remember all of this going on, but I felt like I was in a very, very strange place at that moment. And, you know, from what my friends, you know, have told me about it, that I was acting very odd. It was kind of weird. I remember little glimpses of what was going on, and I can tell you from my point of view that at some point my friends came out of the gas station and they looked at me, asked me what was going on, and I must have said something really strange to them, and they're like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I started laughing, I guess, just really maniacally, and, you know, they're like, you know, telling me that I was, you know, just to calm down, that, you know, we're going to attract the cops, and, you know, we didn't want that. So somehow I had ended up like a couple doors down was a church, and I sort of remember my friends trying to wrestle me to the ground. And later on, my friend said that, you know, she trained horses, and she said that I was kicking like a, you know, like a colts would kick, you know, really, really forcefully, and I really wasn't that athletic. And, you know, I remember them, you know, telling, you know, saying stuff like, you know, get her on holy ground, she's going to be okay there. And I remember just sort of laughing, and then I, like, took off again, and one of the guys chased me down and had grabbed hold of me. And, you know, I really, you know, it's just little glimpses here and there, almost like it was a dream. But I remember looking at him, and he's yelling at me, and, you know, I could hear, you know, my friends' voices in the background yelling at me and stuff like that. But I wasn't really focused at all. And I looked at him, and all of a sudden, his facial features just literally started melting. like he was like wax or something, and like he was like turning into something else. And I sort of remember screaming in the background, and you know, the next thing I knew, I was in the back seat of my car, and they were driving out of town, and they're like, "What the hell? You know, what the hell was going on with you, Jackie? What was going on?" And, you know, eventually I kind of came around to it, and I was telling them what I had saw, and they were like, "Oh man, that's really just fucked up, Jackie. What is going on?" And, you know, apparently I was just a completely different person at that time, and really acting, I mean, you know, I seriously believe, looking back on it at this point, that I was possessed by something from that park. There was a lot of really bad things that people did out at that park, you know, a lot of Satanism-type rituals and stuff like that. So probably wasn't the best place to be hanging out at. But anyway, you know, I never really had any other attachment problems after that. And apparently the one guy that had grabbed me, he was fairly religious, and he started shouting, you know, religious quotes at me and things like that, and that's what brought me back. But, you know, it's just, it was such a strange summer. After all that happened, you know, there was a lot of other little, more minor things that went on that summer and kind of into the next couple of years. But, you know, nothing as terrifying as that, I guess. You know, I'm okay now. I am fairly in tune to the spirits around me, and definitely can feel, you know, emotions of the past, you know, like a lot of people that call in that listen to the show do. I'm so happy for this show and listening to everybody and feeling like we're, you know, all kind of part of a great big group. And you know, the paranormally affected, I still love that. You guys are awesome. I am proud to be an ETP. You know, I encourage everybody to do it. It's a great thing. So anyway, I got tons of other stories. Well, maybe not tons, but I've got other stories that I will try to call in. I've written in some, and, you know, they've gotten either not sent in or lost in the piles. So anyway, I love you guys. Bye.
Thanks for sharing your experiences with us, and thank you for being an EPP.
Do you think that some of the activity that had gone on in the park could have lingered and taken over her?
Yeah, certainly. I think when you have that sort of activity, if it was what she was saying, I think you probably have a lot of things just lingering and waiting to latch on to someone else, whatever those, you know, objects may be. When I went through the grottos in Appleton, Wisconsin, and went on that ghost tour, just one-on-one with the investigator, through the woods at night with a flashlight, the reason that they had to take all the figurines down from it were because the report was, and this was, I believe, like back into the 70s, that's how old this thing was that, you know, people were using them for like satanic rituals and such and defacing them. And then the church took them, blessed them, and buried them at an undisclosed location. But all the large rock altars for the grottos are still standing.
Okay.
In that park in Appleton. So, you know, when I did that, I didn't even think of anything like that happening. But I would imagine any grounds where you have that sort of stuff going on, yes. That's my long-winded answer.
No, it makes sense.
To you. So, yeah, I mean, interesting story. I'd be interested to hear where that occurred. Well, it's probably not a good idea to broadcast that.
No, probably not.
I'm just, like, more so personally interested in where that occurred.
Yeah.
Just for my own questions. Anyway, thank you for calling in and sharing your experience with us. 855-853-4802. That'd be a fun, you know, reunion that they have, you know, years later, or, you know, 20 years from now, somebody types something on whatever the Facebook of the day is. Hey, remember that time we were out in the cemetery and you got possessed? Or when you're out the behind the gas station or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah, that's not how I would want to be remembered by my friends.
I wonder if that would be like one of those posts where Facebook, like, remember this day 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a posting from a friend. Hey, you were possessed last night. That was wacky. LOL. You know, whatever. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our number. Shannon in Tennessee, hi.
Hi, guys. My name is James. I I had a very strange experience. This is the only paranormal experience I've ever had that I can recall. I live in Virginia, and in Virginia, there's a small little town called Lynchburg. Well, my mother was living there at the time, and when my parents were divorced, and when I would go and see my mother, she actually had it was almost like a split foyer, except it was kind of like a duplex that had a finished basement as well. And somebody lived on the finished basement, and then somebody lived on the left. We lived on the right. And it was obviously an older house. I'm not quite sure of an age. I never really did any research into the house. Like I said, I was very, very young. I was probably 9, 10, 11. And it was very frightening. The one experience I have, my mother was about to move. Now, the whole time we had been there, I had never had any experience. Nothing. The whole time I lived there, I never saw anything. Nothing moved. Nothing. And while I was there, the night my mother was going to move, the next day we had started to pack some things up and get ready, and that night I was just sleeping on the couch because we had packed up the beds and the mattresses. So I was sleeping on the couch, and so was my sister. My mother had two couches, a love seat and a regular couch, and I was sleeping on the regular couch. My sister was on the love seat. We're sleeping, and I woke up, and I looked up the stairs. The living room was down at the bottom, and the stairs were right beside the living room. You could look straight up. And I looked up, and I saw this black figure. Now, I thought at first it was just me sleeping. But then I realized it really started to sink in once I started to wake up more. And I just felt fear. And it didn't look like it was looking at me. I couldn't make out any eyes. I could make out a silhouette. I could make out, it looked like just the shape of a head with a neck and shoulders, and it seemed to move down the stairs. And I was freaked out. I was really scared. I couldn't even say anything because I was so frightened. I couldn't even scream. I couldn't yell for help, nothing. And I just saw this thing moving down the stairs. And then, as it's moving down the stairs, it started to evaporate almost, like from the bottom up, just started to disappear. And just, it was gone. And I threw the covers over my head because I didn't know what else to do. You know, I was 9, 10, and I blacked out because the next thing I remember, it was morning. So I don't know what happened after that. I just know that the next thing I remember, it was morning. I never told anybody my experience, and for a while I thought I was dreaming. But as I thought about it more and more, I could still see that figure clear as day. I can see the house. I can see the stairs. I can see everything like it was just yesterday. And it was probably one of the scariest experiences I've ever had. Ever since then, nothing's ever bothered me. Ever since then, nothing's ever come near me. I'll admit I am a Christian, and you know, I've never had any demonic forces bother me or influence me or anything like that. So I've always wondered what that was or what happened there. For a while, I thought it may have been a shadow person, but two of the descriptions that come with shadow people is either one that's wearing like a hood cloak type thing, or somebody that's wearing like a top hat or fedora or something like that. And this being, whatever it was, wasn't wearing either one of those. It looked like the bottom looked like it was wearing the cloak part, but I could see the head. It didn't look like it had the hood of the cloak on. And it didn't look like it was looking at me or any type of contact with me. It just looked like it was walking straight down the stairs and then disappeared. So I just wanted to share that with you, and hopefully you guys use this on the show, or, you know, or you can contact me, whatever you got to do. If you do need to contact me, it's 434.
And that's that. Something to note, I wonder what time of year he saw the shadow person, because a lot of people are unaware of this, but shadow people do change their attire based on if it's before or after Labor Day. So
bullshit.
That's a big thing to keep in mind with that. They don't wear the hats after Labor Day. It's kind of a summer thing. You know, they...
bullshit. No, but I don't limit your knowledge of shadow people to just ones that do wear hats or capes, because they can, you know, run around and it's just the silhouette.
It can be anything.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, set definition of what a shadow person must be having on in attire or outline for it to be a shadow person. It can be a blob, not even resembling a person, just a big shadowy mass.
Right.
It can look like an animal. It can look like anything. Those do tend to be, I know what he's saying, is that does tend to get reported quite a lot with shadow people of, I saw the hat, I saw the this or the that. Those, I think, probably get more attention just in general because they're more defined. Mm-hmm. And when you have something a little more defined and a little more definite, it gathers more interest.
Sure.
of people. But really, it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, and we've talked about this too with shadow people, that they're not likely all demonic or dark or bad. I mean, color wise, they're dark, but meaning, you know, spiritually.
Intently
dark. Sometimes I think it's just another way that some ghosts manifest themselves.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell. I think with a lot of that, you just kind of have to go off of emotion and what are you feeling from that experience and from that encounter that you had. Did you feel threatened? Did it feel calming? We've had that too with shadow people. So,
right.
It's very difficult to diagnose that directly.
Mm-hmm.
So not all shadow people are alike, but that is true about the Labor Day thing.
No, it's not. No.
I had no idea about like the shorts and was it white pants or what?
Yeah.
Is that like a, mainly it's ladies who wear white pants, it tends to be. But what are the other non, because this is a Southern thing, right? I never heard this up north.
Okay, as far as I know.
Okay.
As far as I know, it was. And the rules have maybe have bent some over time as we find that you can still occasionally have a 100-degree day late into September.
Sure.
But it was always you didn't wear shorts after Labor Day or before Easter. You didn't wear sandals before Easter. And you didn't wear white pants after Labor Day.
I just dress for whatever the day is going to be. You know, if it's chilly, I'm not going to wear shorts. But
I've seen you wear corduroy pants in July, so you're
sure.
You're off. You need to not do that.
Oh, yeah, corduroy is another thing, too.
Corduroy. Everybody knows corduroy is a winter fabric.
No.
Yes, it is. It is a winter fabric.
But I have corduroy shorts.
Okay, that's just a trendy thing. But don't wear your, like, corduroy cargo pants in the middle of July.
How did I have corduroy cargo pants?
You have corduroy pants.
Well, I have pants. I don't think they're cargo ones.
Okay, well, don't wear them in July.
Okay.
Everybody knows that.
Well, so do shadow people. That's why they wait till after.
Fine.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Michelle from Independence. I'm calling to share. I had one brief story. I've called before. I'm kind of giving you guys my stories in chunks, but they're mostly about my kids. One morning, I was doing dishes, and my son came to me in the kitchen and said that he had been sleeping in the living room and woke up in the middle of the night and saw a man sitting on our sofa looking out the side window of the house. And he was about 8 when he had said this. And I was like, that's weird. I was doing dishes, pretty distracted. I said, maybe go look outside and see what he's looking at. And didn't really think anything of it. I just thought it was his overactive imagination. So, maybe 5 minutes later, my son walked back into the house and he was like, here, I think this is yours, and handed me my wedding ring that had been missing for months. And I was like, oh my gosh, where did you find this? And he said, well, you said go look where the man was looking. So I went outside and looked in the bush outside of the window and saw your wedding ring out there. And it was really odd, just a brief little story that happened with my kids. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I would be so grateful to the ghost outside the window for helping your son return your wedding ring. I think that's awesome.
How much is that ghost in the window?
It misses something when you can't bark.
It does. It really, it's just because it's silent.
Mm-hmm.
The ghosts are silent. But yeah, I mean, that it's right place, right time. And I think some that might be one of those cases where it's not necessarily a person that's being haunted or being followed. It's just, we were talking about that the other day, where there's sometimes, I think there's just ghosts that they inhabit certain places and they're there to help.
Yeah.
They're like forever store clerks. They're just there to be of assistance to whoever and whatever happens to come by, just trying to do good things. And that's interesting.
Sure.
And I think that actually does exist. I think that's a prime example of that. So thank you for calling in and sharing that short story with us. The phone number here, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. And of course, we ask if you enjoy the show, if you're a new listener, please become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. And hence, you get extra podcasts when you're an extra podcast person. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 50 of them. You get to download, packed with some of our best stories ever. And brand new EPP bonus episodes every single week. It's only $5 a month. That's what keeps our show going. That supports the costs of the bandwidth to download the show and all the other fun expenses that go along with producing a show that gets downloaded as much as ours does. So please help keep the ship afloat. Without our EPPs, it'd be sinking. So please help to do that. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another all-natural episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.